Brothers, my sisters, very interesting thing is a very interesting thing, but sometimes my sermon topics can get shifted. I can work on sermons, do stuff, but then sometimes something can happen earlier in a day that can shift my flow, shift my perspective, shift what I need to be able to do. Today was one of those types of days, because today at the 8 o'clock service at the Hope Happy Hour, Reverend Bill is in Atlanta, and we want to thank God that our own minister, Felicia Gross, was the preacher for the day. And as she was a amen, somebody, that she was a preacher for the day, and as she literally shut it down, amen, somebody. I'm praying that I can halfway preach as half as good as she preached this morning. And she shut it down. She did share with us that we need to know who we are. It's a very interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing because for many of us, the challenge is not that God does not have a work for us to do. The challenge is that we do not fully understand who God has made us to be. You see, many of us have an identity crisis, that for many of us, the life that we are living is not the life that God has for us to live. And we have to get to a place of self-understanding, of self-reflection, to be able to fully understand who we are. It's a horrible thing when you don't understand who you are, because you can be playing out and living life at such a level beneath who you are that you can never fully appreciate and get to what God has for you to get to. You've got to know who you are. That many of us are dealing with an identity crisis, a crisis of identity in such a fact that we live beneath our means. We live beneath who we're called to be. We live so far beneath who we are that we allow people to treat us for who we think we are other than who we are. But if you ever get an understanding of who you are, it deals with how you allow folks to deal with you. That when I understand that I'm royalty, then therefore I only deal with royal people. But not just only deal with royal people, but there's only ways that I allow people to treat me. People don't call me anything when I understand who I am. Other people don't act any old way around me because I understand who I am. There are certain places you won't find me when I understand who I am. But if I have an identity crisis, I can be a king and I can be living in a pit. I'm not living in a pit because they put me in a pit. I can walk into a pit because I believe I'm a pit person. But if I'm a king and I understand I am a king, then you won't have me around pit people. And the challenge with too many of us is that we're living in pits, not because we got put in the pit, but because we made the pit for ourselves. That we got the shovel and we dug up the pit for ourselves, time after time digging up a pit because somebody told us we were a pit person. But turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've got to understand who you are. And when you understand who you are, that means you've got to understand whose you are, because you've got to understand that when you understand whose you are and who you are, the two are linked together. And the challenge for too many of us is that we can't understand who we are or whose we are. And because we don't understand who we are or whose we are, then we let folks run game on us day after day after day because we're walking beneath what the Lord has for us to be. But I've come by to talk to just a few folks in the house today to let you know that today is the day for you to find out who in the world you are. And when you find out who you are, good God Almighty, then that's when you can walk in some power in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, today is the day for you to get some power. Today is a day for you to get some authority. Today is a day for you to be able to be all that God has called you to be. You got to know who you are. Very interesting thing, though, because sometimes you can be living what you think is a good life and be totally out of line with who you are. That you can think you're living good. Anybody here remember there was a time in which you thought you were getting it, and now you look back over your life and you realize you were totally out of pocket? Amen, somebody. I'm talking about you thought you were getting it. You thought you were doing it. You thought you were balling. You thought you were killing them. I got at least one witness up in here. But then when you look back over it, your life was so out of sorts, so out of whack. You were so out of position. And now that when you look back over it, all you can say is, I survived. Amen, somebody. Because if it had not been for the grace of God that saw me and took care of me when I didn't really understand who I was. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And so if you look at our scripture, what you find is you find a brother by the name of Saul. Most of you all know him now by his name of Paul, the apostle Paul, the brother who started many of the churches of the New Testament, the brother who wrote many of the books of scripture. His first name was Saul. And what you find is that in the beginning, he was a persecutor of the church. He was even there in the folks laid their coats at his feet when they killed the disciple Stephen, that he was a persecutor of the church. But yet, in the midst of it all, here we find Saul. He has been given authority to go to Damascus and to round up Christians, to round up these believers in Jesus. Saul was a good Jewish brother. Saul did not believe in the Messiah. Saul did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And so he felt that these Christians, or the folks they said were in the way, were folks who were being disrespectful and heretical to Judaism, and they needed to pay. They needed to be persecuted. They needed to be locked up. He was on his way to Damascus. He was on what they call the Damascus Road. And as he was on the Damascus Road, the Bible says that he dealt with an identity crisis. The Bible says that he was on the Damascus Road and a light from heaven shined so bright that it blinded him. And it said that Jesus spoke out and said, "Paul, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul said, "Who are you?" And he said, "It's Jesus, and you've been misusing me." And the Bible says that Saul was blinded from that day, and he ended up being able to be led to a house on a street called Straight. And he was on that house, and he couldn't eat and he couldn't drink for 3 days. And Ananias came and laid hands on him. The Bible says that Saul was then baptized and ate and was able then to later on become Paul and become one of the great leaders of the church. It's a very interesting thing, because the first thing I want you to understand as we deal and continue in this reboot series, it is sometimes it's Jesus pushing the button. Sometimes it's Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Sometimes it's Jesus. Sometimes it's Jesus." One of the challenges in life is that sometimes we claim and everything is the devil, and sometimes it's Jesus. Amen, somebody. That we think that every issue, every situation, every problem that we have is coming from the enemy, but sometimes it's not the enemy. Sometimes it's not even you. Sometimes it's Jesus trying to give you a reset, Lord have mercy, to get you to where you need to be. If you look at Saul, what I realized when I looked at Saul is that sometimes the worst thing in the world is when you know you're right. Anybody here, sometimes you just know you're right. Sometimes you just know you're right. And the challenge is that sometimes we can be our meanest when we think we're right. We can be... I can't get no help up in here, but one of the challenges in the world is when you know that you're right. If you look at Saul and you look at Saul's life, what you'll realize is Saul went to the best school. Saul learned under Gamaliel. That Saul was extremely intelligent and extremely gifted, but of all of that and him knowing he was so right caused a blind spot in his area. He had gotten so taught so much about the Jewish law and about the Jewish tradition that he was missing what God was doing. God was doing a once and not just a lifetime, once, not just in a generation, but a once in a world event, that God sent the Messiah. God sent Jesus. But because Paul knew all that he had learned and thought he was so right, that he missed what God was trying to do. He missed what God was trying to do and found himself persecuting the very ones he should have been joining. And for many of us, the challenge for many of us is that you know you so right that you treat people so wrong, that you know you so right about a situation, you know you so right in a circumstance, you know you so right in an argument. Anybody here honest enough to admit that sometimes because you know you're right in a situation that you don't want to be humble in the situation, that sometimes because you know you're right in a situation you don't want to budge in a situation, that sometimes you know you're right and so therefore the people who are wrong you don't want to give them any room, you don't want to give them any thought because you know you're so right. But is there anybody here honest enough to remember a time when you thought you were so right but now you look back and you realize you were so wrong? And so you got to learn to be humble, Lord have mercy, and sit your behind down. Is there somebody in the house today that knows that sometimes you're moving in a direction you think is so right, and God's got to sit you down to get you right? God's got to sit you down to get you right. It reminds me, if I can get a little something on this monitor, it reminds me of when I was a young brother. I was a young brother. It was crazy. I was in high school. I was a young brother in high school. This was the mid-80s. I'm a young brother. I'm in high school. Folks were talking about black history, and I told them, "I'm not black. I'm Tony." My perspective on the world, it was so narcissistic, it was so self-absorbed that I did not see myself connected to black folks. I was Tony. Amen, somebody. Now, I went to a school where everybody was black, everybody I hung out with was black. I grew up, in Prince George's County when it became all black. Before that, in Southeast, amen, somebody. Fourth and Xenia, that was all black. Amen, somebody. I went to a black church, all that stuff. But I was so caught up in who I was, Lord have mercy, that I said that I was not black. I was the race of Tony, and I said that this world was about me, myself, and I. And I'm talking about I meant that thing. I'm talking about I believed that thing. I'm talking about that I knew I was right. I'm talking about that I could not see how I was connected to any level of struggle, any level of black folk stuff, any level of Afrocentricity. Lord have mercy. I sure enough ain't want to connect with Africa because I was what? The race of Tony. And I knew I was what? I was right. I knew I was right until I started to see that when the police pulled me over, I wasn't Tony. I was black. Amen, somebody. Until I started to see that when I went into a store and was shopping and I had money in my pocket, but they still followed me around. I wasn't Tony, but I was black. Amen, somebody. I realized that at the time that I went to the University of Maryland and I sat in front of a professor that I was doing good in his class, but he just assumed I was doing bad and assumed I was on the basketball team and asked me what sports team I played for, that I realized I wasn't Tony, but I was black. Amen, somebody. That I realized that as I went along my journey, that Tony stuff started to leave real quick. But the more that I grew up, Lord have mercy, I had to realize I was wrong about some stuff. And I had to realize that I was black. Amen, somebody. Paul was the same way. And Saul thought he was so right. But what happened is that Jesus brought a light on a street called on Damascus Road to let him know that you're not right, you Saul. Amen, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, sometimes God's got to push the buttons. God's got to push the buttons. But turn to your neighbor and say, the other thing, though, is that everybody means everybody. Turn to your neighbor. Everybody, Lord have mercy, means everybody. What do you mean, Reverend? Well, when I look at this text, what I realize is here you have Saul. He was on the Damascus Road. That this light came. It shut him down. It blinded him. That he ended up being put in this other house on a street called Straight. He's waiting in this house. He's sitting there. Doesn't know what's happening. All he knows is he's blind. He stopped eating. He stopped drinking. And what you find is that God speaks to a gentleman by the name of Ananias, a Christian, in a dream. Speaks to him in a vision and tells him, I need you to go and I need you to lay hands on Saul. He tells him where he's going to be. Gives him a directions to him and says, I need you to lay hands on him. He's already seen you in a dream and I need you to lay hands on him because I'm going to use him to do great things for the kingdom of God. I'm going to use him to preach my word to the Gentiles and all kinds. I'm going to use Saul in an amazing way. And Ananias said, I'm not trying to go over there, God, because I heard who he is. I heard what he's done. I've heard the kind of lifestyle he's lived. I've heard the kind of challenges he's been. And so, ain't that how we do in the church sometimes? Ain't that how we do in the church sometimes? That God's trying to minister to somebody. God's trying to use us to be a blessing to somebody, but you're like, no, God, I'm not trying to sit next to them because I know who they are. I know what they've done. I know their dirt. I've seen them in the streets. I've seen them. Why, God, would we have them at our church? God, they a stripper. God, they a drug dealer. God, they are this. God, they are that. Why would we have them at our church? But the Bible says everybody is everybody. Amen, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, everybody is everybody. I'm so glad to be in a place where everybody means everybody. That Ananias was trying to keep Saul out of the work because he, of course, Saul had done some bad things. Saul was an accessory to murder. Saul was a persecutor. Saul was somebody who was setting up the Christians, but God was saying that I can use the worst of them. Lord have mercy. And whoever I want to use, I can use. I thought somebody would start shouting here because that means everybody is you. Okay. Y'all think y'all too cute over here, but I know some of y'all over here testimony. Amen, somebody. And there's some churches you couldn't go to, Lord have mercy, because you didn't know all the scriptures, and you didn't dress the right way, and you didn't act the right way. But when you got up in Community of Hope, we said it's Community of Hope where what? Everybody, Lord have mercy, has a chance, and everybody, Lord have mercy, means because it reminds me of a time when we at Community of Hope were in the Legend and then had moved out of the Legend and we were up here and I got word from my trustees. I got word from the count team. The count team would give us word to say, Pastor, periodically in the offerings, we would get stacks of ones with glitter on them. We would get stacks of ones. I can't get no help up in here. I told y'all we used to be in the Legend, amen, somebody. And those who used to know the Legend, y'all know it had strip night, amen, somebody. And they said we would get stacks of ones with glitter on it. And we understood that that meant that was the offering of some of the strippers in the family, amen, somebody. Some of the strippers. And they said, what do you want us to do with the stacks of ones with glitter on them? I said, well, I want you to let me know if we stop getting the stacks of ones with glitter on them. I said, when we stop getting stacks with glitter on them, that means we not getting everybody. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Have I got anybody in here who's glad today to know that there's a church that can be here for you? It's a church of God that can be here. It doesn't matter what you come in here with. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, or who you did it with. If you did it last night or woke up doing it this morning. But when you get up in here, you're in the right place. Lord, have mercy. We don't care what you've done. We just know that God's got a blessing with your name slam on it. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you everybody, and I'm everybody. And if God can use me, then God can use you too. And I'm so glad today to know that God's got a blessing with my name slam on it. God's got a blessing with my name slam on it, slam on it. But the third thing, and I'm going to get up out of here. It's time for communion. You got to understand it's time to eat again. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to eat again. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you've been fasting too long. You've been fasting. You've been fasting. It's a very interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing. But sometimes there are seasons in your life in which you used to have plenty, but sometimes there are seasons in your life that you can't even really eat. Have I got a witness in the house today? Anybody, you've gone through seasons in your life in which you couldn't halfway eat. Sometimes a season in your life you can't halfway eat because you don't have to eat. Amen, somebody. Sometimes seasons in your life in which you can't halfway eat because your stress is so bad that you can't halfway eat. Sometimes there are seasons in your life that you can't halfway eat because you're on a sick bed and you can't eat because the doctor said it for the procedure that's about to happen. You can't eat a certain types of food. You can't eat. So anybody ever come up out of surgery and you couldn't eat? You couldn't eat. You came out of surgery and you couldn't eat. And anybody remember how good it felt when you could finally get back to solid food? I'm talking about that you were on your back, that you had come out of surgery, you come out of whatever issue you were in. But then you would work yourself on your way back, and first you couldn't eat anything, and then the doctor said you could have liquids, amen, somebody, and then you may have some broth. Amen, somebody. Anybody remember how good that broth tasted when you were first? Oh, I can't get no help up in here, but I know I'm telling the truth. You had some broth, and anybody remember? Then it went from broth to Jell-O. Amen, somebody. Broth to Jell-O, and anybody remember how good the Jell-O was? Lord, I'm talking about the best Jell-O you had ever eaten in your life. And anybody remember how they moved from Jell-O to soft foods? Amen, somebody. Mashed potatoes and mashed up cooked carrots. Amen, somebody. You went to soft food, but anybody remember when you could get back to some real solid food? I'm talking about that you could get some chicken, or you could get some fish, or you could get a Lord have mercy. Anybody remember anybody a carnivore like me that was excited when you could get back to a steak? Amen, somebody. It's something, Lord have mercy, to be able to eat again. It's something that when you were sick, or when you were hurting, or when you were down, or when you were out, to get to a place where you can eat what again? And the scripture amazes me, because the Bible says the Ananias went and he saw about Saul. He saw about Saul. He went, and the Bible says he laid hands on him. Said he laid hands on him. The Bible says that Saul hadn't eaten for 3 days, hadn't eaten or drinking anything for 3 days. And the Bible says he laid hands on him. Said the scales fell from his eyes. He could see again, and he got baptized. Lord have mercy. He got baptized, and then it said, and he went and he got himself something to eat, and his strength came back to him. And I've come by to tell somebody in the house today that now is the season, Lord have mercy, for you to eat again. That I know you've been through a rough season. I know you've been through a hard season. But I've come by to let you know the season was not to break you, but the season was to make you. That sometimes Jesus sits you down in order to pick you up. And I've come by to let somebody know today that now is the time for you to get a sense of who you are. When you get a sense of who you are, then you get a sense of whose you are. When you get a sense of whose you are, that's when it's time to eat again, because that's when you've got some work to do. You see, Saul was sitting there blind in that area in the street called Straight, hadn't eaten for 3 days, but once Ananias laid hands on him, once all of a sudden he could see clearly, once all of a sudden he got baptized, it said what he ate again. I don't know about you, but I had to ask myself, why would they put in the story that he ate again? And it said it wasn't necessarily for Saul, but it was for the folks in the community.
community of hope to understand that weeping may endure for a night, but joy, Lord have mercy, will come in the morning, and it's time to eat again. To let some folks know, a community of hope, you've been down, but baby, you not out, and it's time to eat again. To let some folks in community of hope know that things have been rough, but you're about to come up out that season, and it's time to eat again. I dare somebody in here to do like I used to do. I remember when I was in the hospital, had come up out of surgery, and the doctor told me, you got to drink liquids right now. But while I was drinking liquids, I was writing up my menu for the solid food, because I said it's getting ready to be time for me to eat again. I was already putting in my request from my mama, because it's going to be time for me to eat again. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? It's about to be time for you to eat again. And when it's time for you to eat again, you're going to find more power. You're going to get your strength back. You're going to get more power. You're going to get your power back. You're going to get your joy back. You're going to get your peace back. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, get ready, because the table is being set. It's dinner time. It's time to eat. It's time to get back everything the devil stole. It's time to get back everything you think you lost. It's time to get back everything you gave away. Have I got anybody in the house? Say, it's time. It's time. It's time. Somebody need to ring the dinner bell in your spirit and say, baby, ding, 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 ding. It's time.
Ah, yeah. Come on, won't you stand all over the church? Time.